Another edition of the Shooting USA podcast. Just back to Nashville from the USPSA Open and Limited 10 Nationals in St. George, Utah. And this is going to be an interesting experiment because I didn't take the podcasting gear to St. George. I conducted interviews using the phone and an auxiliary microphone. And so the idea is create the podcast now and kind of wrap these interviews into one special edition from the USPSA Open and Limited 10 and kind of streamline the entire process. So we're going to get that started. The first guest, first interview I have is Randy Rogers, the newest member of Team Smith & Wesson. Here's Randy.
And Randy Rogers is with me. Welcome, Randy.
Thank you.
You're hot ticket in the news right now. You are the newest member of Team Smith & Wesson. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. I'm very excited to join the team.
I know it's something that's been put together we kind of started to put it together at NRA show, and I guess we were ironing out the details, but it's public knowledge now.
Yeah, it's been kind of a long process. You know, I've known about the team for years, obviously, and NRA, you know, I got talking to some people, and you know, it took a little while to hammer out all the details, but I'm very excited to be officially part of the team.
Well, excellent. Tell me what you're going to, you know, what are the shooting sports you're going to participate in to fly the Smith & Wesson flag?
Well, I'm going to do as many as they'll let me do. You know, I really like to do everything right now, and hopefully I'll get to do that all with Smith & Wesson. You know, I do IDPA and USPSA, Steel Challenge, NRA Bianchi Cup. I've gone to the Pro-Am, and then I've also dabbled in three-gun for the first time this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've certainly got the product to support all of that. Historically, is in IDPA, you've shot Glock. How is it going to be transitioning into the M&P?
You know, I really don't think it's that going to be too bad. In fact, I don't think it's going to be a problem at all. I actually, I almost shot an M&P a couple of years ago at the IDPA European Cup. I went over, and before I left, my Glock failed, and so I couldn't take it, and I was going to borrow a friend's M&P. And I went out there, and I practiced 200 rounds, and I was ready to go. It ended up that someone had a Glock on hand in 9mm that they let me use, and that turned out to be a little better than the 40, so I went ahead and went with it. But even in that 200 rounds, I was ready to compete in a national championship with M&P, so I don't think it'll be a problem.
And it goes without saying, and the audience of the show obviously knows, that you are extremely competitive in the sport of IDPA. You had a fantastic finish at the 2013 Indoor Nationals this year.
Yeah, I did. The Indoor Nationals was good for me. Carolina Cup was good for me. And, you know, we just finished the Outdoor Nationals a couple weeks ago, and that one ended up well for me as well.
Well, how is the back-to-back Nationals going for you this year?
The back-to-back Nationals is going pretty good. The Limited Nationals, you know, I shot pretty strong. I finished up second lady overall, which I was very happy with. And the Limited 10 Nationals has been going well. You know, the rest of the people have to finish this afternoon, but hopefully I'll walk away with the title.
Very good, very good. Talk about multi-gun a little bit. You know, I mean, it seems like that's the big gravitational pull for everybody in the practical shooting right now. And I guess you included.
Multi-gun is totally addictive. you get out there and it's got all the great things about pistol, but even more so because you've also got the rifle, which if you think going fast with a pistol is fun, wait until you start going fast with a rifle. And then you've got the shotgun, which is just, it's killer fun to shoot. And if you can get the loading down, it's really a good time.
How much of this bridges over from where you and I originally met, and that was within, you know, SAS?
Well, shooting for me is, you know, for everybody really, is lining up the sights and pulling the trigger. So if you can do that, you know, when you transfer from one sport to the next, all you really have to learn is the rules. So that's why, you know, my learning curve for each of these sports has been significantly lower than if I were a brand new person getting into shooting for the first time. You know, when I first got into practical pistol, it was very easy for me to learn the rules and learn the mag changes. It was only a few skills I had to learn. And now that I've transitioned into multi-gun, it's basically the same thing. You know, I've handled a rifle before, so shooting a rifle is not foreign to me. The scope is a little bit different, but it's not completely different. It's a very small transition. So, you know, I've been doing it all year. I've shot about 5 matches, and I placed in the top 4 lady in the 3-Gun Nation Pro Series, so I get to go to Vegas. I'm so excited.
That's awesome.
But it's really a good time.
Tell me about your shotgun specifically. Yeah, I want to know about all of your multi-gun gear, just honestly because I don't know, and I'm interested in that stuff. But tell me about your shotgun.
Well, my shotgun is a Benelli M2 that Taryn built for me. It's a Taryn Tactical Special. You know, I called him up on the phone and I said, Taryn, I know nothing about shotguns. Send me something. Mm-hmm. And he sent me just a beautiful gun. It's got a 9-round tube on it. It's got a pistol grip stock and then all the bells and whistles in between. So
that's one that I actually know very well, because I happen to have one myself. The only difference is I don't run the pistol grip stock. Tell me about your rifle, though.
My rifle, I've been shooting a Stag 3G, which has been working pretty well for me. I'm really excited to test out Smith & Wesson's rifles to see what they've got going. I use a Leupold 1x6 scope, which has been awesome. I love the lit reticle in there. It makes the 3-gun shooting so easy. But overall, that's pretty much all I've done to it.
Awesome. Well, as always, you're an easy interview, and I think it's because you have a lot of experience, you know, doing the radio format with the podcast that you and Julie do. Talk about that.
This year's been really exciting. I've got to try a couple of new projects, and one of them has been Gun Girl Radio. Julie Golub and I, we get together once every couple of weeks, and we record an episode. She's in Montana, and I'm in Houston, and we usually have a guest on, and it's been wonderful. You know, we get to talk a lot about the different parts of shooting, the things that we like, the matches we've been to, as well as interview some really amazing ladies on the show. So it's been a fun little experiment, and we're really looking forward to continuing it.
Awesome. Well, I enjoy listening to it, and folks can find that Gun Girl Radio where else?
You can find it on my website, which is randyrogersshooting.com. You can also find it on Julie's website, which is Julie G. And maybe you could put a link to it on yours.
Never know. Is it, the feed goes into iTunes, I'm sure.
It does. It's on iTunes. It's also on Stitcher.
Mm-hmm. So search iTunes Gun Girl Radio, and it'll pop up for you.
Absolutely.
Excellent, Randy. Always fun. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, there you go. Randy Rogers from the Open and L10 Nationals that just wrapped up, 2 days ago. And the interesting thing about this is, like I said, it's an experiment, and the match was ongoing when we conducted that interview. So we got in the rental car, and you could hear shooting in the background. You could hear shooting outside of the car. It made for a decent environment for the interview, but as I listen to it now, shooting going on in the background. The air conditioner was on at first. I had to kind of back that down, kind of got that under control. So bear with me. It's an experiment. Next up, interesting interview with Shannon Smith and Dave Ray. Dave Ray works for CrossFit. He's also a GM shooter and was squatted in the open match with the Super Squad. Shannon Smith, I'm sure y'all have seen on the show a number of times. He is one of the guys from Universal Shooting Academy down there in Frostproof, and he's heading up a competition, a new format of competition that is going to involve CrossFit-style workout and shooting. And it's something that I've been interested in for a while. He and I have talked about it a number of times. And I got to sit in with he and with Dave Ray. You know, Dave Ray's a shooter and works for CrossFit. So he's really got some traction with this thing. So here is that interview.
It's a cute little mic.
Yeah, thanks. I picked that up the other day.
All right, so we're continuing the special interview session from 2013 Open Nationals. I've got Dave Ray and Shannon Smith, and these guys are bringing the conglomerate of shooting, practical shooting, and CrossFit exercise. Guys, talk about that.
Well, it's something that I've been wanting to do for years. Been shooting for 10 years or plus, and CrossFitting for about 5. And you know, the sport of fitness, the thing that appeals about CrossFit so much is competition. And as shooters, you know, that's what we live for. So putting the two together, you know, a lot of the tactical community are getting into CrossFit now, and better ways to train and better ways to think about fitness. So adding that into the shooting, something I've been wanting to do forever. And so this year we're going to bring our first test event in and see what happens. So it's going to be just that. It's going to be a mix of shooting competition style stages, as well as, you know, CrossFit competition style exercises.
Excellent.
You know, some of the appeal too is the Olympics has biathlon, right? And it's a long endurance event followed by some extremely precise shooting stuff intermixed in. And if the shooting is poor, then you have a physical penalty associated with it that just tacks on to your time, right? And we shoot a lot out here in practical shooting with no other physical stress other than, you know, being upright all day long. But when you start throwing in cardiovascular stress and other things like that, the shooting becomes a little bit more entertaining in some ways. And combining those two together, you know, it's almost like a Reese's Cup thing, right? Two great tastes together. It's sort of a neat way to put those two up for guys that do both.
Right. Well, Dave, I've followed your writings in CrossFit Journal for a number of years, and we've actually corresponded over the internet about that. Mm-hmm. And Shannon and I have talked about his idea down at Frostproof at Universal Shooting Academy, and I think we're at a point right now where we're about to reach critical mass, mm-hmm. and it's an exciting thing. Because of the physical tests and the physical demands of the practical exercise function that is CrossFit, and then how that's going to affect the fine motor skills that are necessary to shoot practical competition at this level.
It's huge. Yeah.
There's a lot of guys out there doing, you know, similar stuff now, especially in the military and law enforcement community. They're finally coming around and getting smarter about their training in shooting as well as fitness. So it's kind of a natural progression, you know, if you're a competitor, to want to put those together. The difference for this one, for our event, is it's going to be CrossFit, so it's not going to be, you know, combat fitness or, some of the other things that are going on. It's going to be, you know, legit CrossFit workouts, and, you know, hopefully CrossFit's going to get behind us 100%, and I think it could be a big deal in years to come, and I don't know which way it's going to go. I think, you know, it's a great fit for the tactical community, which is kind of where I want to push it, at least in the beginning. And then down the road, you know, if it catches on even more, we could open up a, you know, competitor division, or, you know, split up the division just like we do shooting, different types of, you know, gun types you're shooting, and open guns, limited guns, whatever. So it's, the opportunities are endless, I think.
Sure. How much at this point can we talk about the event that's planned for this coming November?
Well, I've been friends with Dave for a while as well, and Dave Castro,
Director of Training at CrossFit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dave Ray got Dave Castro involved, and we started talking, and this thing's getting a little bigger than I thought it was going to be, but initially, you know, we wanted it just to be a test event, and, you know, make sure not many people die, and it's, you know, it's run safely, and that the concept's going to work, which I'm pretty sure it is. But, so, you know, we're going to keep this one small, 20, 30 competitors, invite only, getting a good mix of, you know, law enforcement, military, female, regular folk, you know, some competitive shooters at CrossFit and some CrossFitters that shoot. So be across the board experience levels. And in terms of the event itself, you know, CrossFit's the unknown and unknowable. So, you know, all the events are going to be, you know, strictly guarded secret. I've already got them planned out. I know it's going to be, but nobody will know until they get there.
Awesome. You going to participate?
I'm absolutely participating, yeah.
Hell yeah.
In fact, I'm going, I think Dave Castro's coming. We're bringing Rich Froning, who's the current fittest man on the planet. Bill Henniger with Rogue Fitness is coming down, and they're bringing gear with them too. I know Shannon said Remington's on board as well for some help there, and so it's going to actually be a pretty cool little event, even though it's only 20 to 30 competitors.
Sure.
There's a lot of interest in seeing how this goes in the CrossFit community, I think.
Excellent. I was surprised. I know that you have a shooting background, and you shot an excellent match. You're Grandmaster or Master?
Yeah, Grandmaster.
Grandmaster. I was surprised to know that Dave Castro is an A-class shooter, and he's here participating at the Nationals.
Yep, we got him dialed up, I think in 2010 he started, and of course fell in love with my open gun right away, so he went out and got all that stuff.
Yeah, right, sure.
Threw the SIG away and got the open gun out.
Yeah, yeah, and he actually, like, listened to what I was telling him to do,
right.
And that's part of why he's progressed so well, but he started off as a good shooter anyway. He came out of SEALs, basically. He was a firearms instructor in the training that they do after BUDS for a while, and has a pretty storied history there that I don't want to expose.
Sure.
But so he already had a good fundamental working on the gun. We just fixed his posture a little bit and his grip and stuff a little, and got him to start hitting stuff reliably, and he's really catching on. He's practicing a bunch, and he'll have his master card pretty darn soon.
That's awesome. Well, this is an exciting thing. You know, I'm on board with it, so looking forward to watching it develop and helping out any way I can.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Excellent. Thanks, fellas.
Cool.
Well, that was Dave Ray and Shannon Smith, and I think everybody can hear that we're pretty excited about the prospect of creating a joint venture between the very successful CrossFit and the Practical Shooting Sports. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. Next up, I've got ladies open division champion Jessie Duff.
All right, so another on-the-scene interview from the 2013 USPSA Open Nationals. I've got ladies champion Jessie Duff. Jessie, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tell me about your match.
Well, actually, I had a really good match, now that it's over and I can say that. I had a few mishaps. I think I ended up with two mics and a procedural, and this was such a challenging match, so walking away with just that, I'm happy.
It's been an interesting match for me to kind of watch over the last couple of days. High hit factors here.
Mm-hmm.
160-point stages that are lasting 15, 16 seconds, so 10-plus point hit factors, which is something pretty unique for a national.
It is. You usually don't see hit factors that high. Usually it's, 7 and 8 is good, but, they're reaching up into the 10s. And so they did a lot of big round count stages, heavy points. I think it's the mindset to get everybody ready for World Shoot. World Shoot's coming up next year. And we had more stages than we normally had. We had 22 stages this year, which we usually see 20 at the most.
Right.
And very few short courses. So it's been a very challenging match, but I like it. I think it was a good mix. It was challenging for the upper tier, mm-hmm. in it, but we still enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't too challenging for, everybody else who, doesn't, shoot as much as the rest of, the top shooters. So I think it was enjoyable for everybody. It was a good match, and, it was laid out really well.
Yeah, it went well for you.
It did.
What do you think of, what do you think of St. George? This is my first time being here, and,
Mine too. I'm going to admit, I was kind of skeptic coming to St. George. It had been in Vegas for so many years, and I think we all just got comfortable with the layout and knew what to expect when we go there. And we had a lot of entertainment, after we were done shooting. So coming to St. George was really, no one knew what to expect. But I was pleasantly surprised when we got here. It's a beautiful drive from Vegas to Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get here, it is an amazing range facility. They have plenty of A's. They could hold a world shoot here.
Mm-hmm.
Great range, great staff. They even have a little restaurant right here. It's, what is it, Handlebar Hanks.
Yeah,
get
buddy.
Your range burger.
Hey, that's good food.
It was good food. I had it today.
Yeah.
But I'm really surprised and pleasantly surprised with St. George. They've got a lot of accommodations, good food, good entertainment, and a great range.
Well, we've definitely enjoyed not only all of the selections of places to eat, which is a big thing, and you don't necessarily get that guaranteed at some of the places where they've held nationals.
I know.
But 90 minutes from Vegas for us, at least, maybe a little over the speed limit, but that's cool. The natural terrain, though, I think lends itself nicely here.
It does. It's gorgeous here.
One thing that we've had to deal with the cameras and stuff, is the dust. It's not unlike anywhere else, Vegas or whatever.
Yeah.
But how does that affect, especially in your case, the open gun?
I learned a little trick a long time ago. The shower caps that you never use in your hotel, they come in handy on the range.
Right.
And I kept my gun bagged the entire time unless I was shooting.
Right.
And that cuts out a lot of the dust. But here in the afternoons, I noticed it's a lot more than what we had in Vegas. So I fortunately didn't experience any trouble with the dust. I didn't jam the gun, anything like that. But it very well could have happened with as much as was here. But I kept the gun bagged the entire time and just made sure, at night, clean it, wipe it down. And definitely had to clean the mags every stage, though.
Good, good. Well, tell me about the gun.
The gun is just a customized 2011. Tim Thompson from Bill's Custom Automatics back home in Shelby, Mississippi, set the gun up for me. Leupold Delta Point.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Not just pushing it because, yes, I am sponsored by Leupold, but it truly is a great optic. It puts the dot really low to the gun.
Mm-hmm.
So point of aim, point of impact, all the way back. And just, really appreciate, that was stupid.
It's not stupid. loophole is important.
Yeah, no, I said really appreciate. I was like, what?
I really appreciate my loophole.
Yeah, I really appreciate my loophole. Also, Terran Tactical Innovations, if I got that right, his TTI mags, those are the way to go. I was able to get 31.
Stop it.
Yeah, 30 plus one.
There are only a couple of stages
I had to reload.
You're hurting people's feelings right now. Mine included, because I don't have a 31 round TTI mag, but man.
Am I special? That's a special thing to have.
I'm going to have to get on the phone.
Yeah, it definitely came in handy on a couple of stages. Didn't reload.
Outstanding stuff. So. Well, good news. What's next? Are we going to see you at production?
Yes, you will. I have not shot production in, what, 5 years maybe?
Okay.
Maybe.
I'll take your word.
Yeah, longer than that. It's been a while.
So.
I'll have to look back in the
something
archives.
Something out of the stable of Taurus.
Yes, sir.
Is it a 24/7? What is it?
No, I'm bringing out the 809.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Alrighty.
I'll be shooting the 809, and my new teammate on Taurus, the junior shooter, Alex Larsh, he'll be shooting the 92, the Beretta lookalike. So we're going to be rocking those at Production Nationals. I've got the U.S. IPSC Nationals before that.
Right.
And then headed to Tulsa for the last match of the year, Production Nationals.
And then, of course, continuing the efforts with Friends of the NRA.
Yes, we are. Working on season four now. It will air 2014, season four.
Great news.
And just rocking that out. Once I'm done shooting, they kind of gave me a little break, which I was glad because I had a lot of big matches here at the end.
Sure.
So I've had a little bit of a break filming, but once I'm done in October, we'll be knocking out episodes for Friends of NRA.
Exciting stuff, man.
Yeah.
Good news. Well, I will definitely see you in Tulsa. Maybe we can do another one of these. Maybe you can introduce me to Alex.
Yes, absolutely. We'll get Alex on a podcast. Maybe I interview you.
I like that. I like that idea. I do actually like
behind that. Behind the scenes of Shooting USA.
Do you have any questions for me since we're here and we're on the spot, or do you want to be more prepared?
Well, no, I can do this on the fly.
Okay.
From a filming standpoint, how have you appreciated, or not so much, either way,
oh, yeah.
St. George and the Nationals, the stages, everything? How's that
you
work
bet.
Out
let me give you, Let me give you my take
Break
on that, because I was very nervous coming out here, having seen a lot of the photography that was posted from the limited national match, and seeing a lot of plywood walls.
Yes. That's killer for cameras.
That ruins really my ability to show the shooter and the targets, which is the key to making good television out of this kind of competition. Mm-hmm. Well, I got some assurances that there were some mesh walls in place, and we've sought those out as best we could. And in cases where it's an important stage without mesh walls, I've got remote cameras, and I've been able to deal with it as best as I possibly could. But as always, it's better when I can see targets from all angles.
Yeah.
And that's been a big challenge here this time. And like I mentioned earlier, the dust has been a challenge, and always is. Tough. And it's one of those things we deal with just about everywhere we go.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, outdoor TV, you gotta...
Yeah, I mean, that's part of
it. You
know,
the terrain.
This is not a studio show.
No, it's not. And I noticed the stage we saw y'all set up and film. How many cameras are y'all rolling with, including little GoPros, handhelds?
Yeah,
how many?
And we did four cameras. I've got two manned cameras and then two downrange unmanned cameras. I've done as many as six on a stage.
Whoa.
Sometimes that
every
can get,
angle.
That can get a little, you know, it can get a little disorienting for the viewer if you jump around too much with the cameras.
Well, that's what I was going to say. With that many, how is it easy to mesh it together to make it make sense for the viewer? Because we all know what we're seeing and what it's going to look
That's
like.
That's part of the challenge. It
How
really
do you
is.
Make it
and,
you
know,
viewer friendly.
I know that the editor is going to take it from me, and the editor is not here. So the editor doesn't know what he's seeing until I give it to him in the form of the video clips. Yeah. And many times they will employ a little creative license and not necessarily use every single camera for every single shooter. And that kind of helps you stay oriented with where the flow of the action is. And we've kind of tailored it a little bit better so that, you know, you don't necessarily see a shooter moving from right to left on your television screen, and then all of a sudden it's a cut, and all of a sudden the guy's moving left to right now. But in reality and in space, he's still moving right to left.
Yeah.
It can be very confusing. So, you know, it's I have to give a lot of credit not only to my photographers, but a lot of credit goes to my post production guys, the editors. They really have a feel for what these stages represent in space and how to tell that story best.
Exactly.
So it's fun.
One last question for you, John.
Yes, good.
Okay, so you're out here, you've been out here a couple of days now for the open match, filming. We've seen all the stages you film, all the shooters. Once you leave here, what goes into putting the show together?
Okay, yeah. We are running a pretty quick turnaround on this one. Mm-hmm. I've got right now in my computer and in process getting ready for the editors by the end of next week the Midnight 3 gun from Crimson Trace. So mm-hmm. I will drop that script and then I will immediately start on logging all of the camera tape and video file with mm-hmm. corresponding time code from this project.
That's
so I will be
process,
yeah. yeah, well, yeah, I mean, just I try tedious. To streamline it, but yeah. it is very tedious, like you say. And, you know, we're talking 7-8 hours in front of the computer yeah. for probably realistically 3 or 4 days if I can really just focus on this. Mm-hmm. Then I need to write the story. And as we're doing this, I'm kind of figuring out what the story is, and yeah. I'm doing the stand-ups that kind of link the story together from here as I'm helping the audience mm-hmm. kind of understand what they're going to see next or what just happened.
Yeah.
Then I'll give that to the editors. And honestly, we're working a tighter deadline situation around the office these days. Jim's kind of tightened up on everybody, so yeah. I don't have a lot of time to just sit on this.
Well, you've only got Production Nationals
right.
is, what, 2 weeks away?
3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yeah, about, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking
realistically.
So you don't have a lot of time anyway before you got to go to the next match.
No, realistically, I would like to drop the scripts voiced for this by the time I pack up and go to Production Nationals.
Yeah.
That then will get assigned to an editor, and the editor will take, generally for each segment, about a day's time worth of editing. So mm-hmm. if I come back with 3 segments from this, we're looking at 3 days of editing.
Yeah.
Then a day for changes and then outputting. Then those segments will live and wait for a corresponding show. And mm-hmm. when it gets assigned to a show, we'll take those segments and we'll see how long they are, and then we'll write the host segments from the studio where you'll see me and Mike Irvine with the monitor, mm-hmm. or you'll see Jim, and we'll put a History's Guns in the show, and we'll
yeah.
put some stuff in the other
and
end of the show, and we'll make an episode, and
yeah.
then we have to tape all of that. Now, once that's
yeah.
done, a big master yeah, script
good.
Goes to another editor, and all of those pieces get all put together and then become the show that we deliver to the network.
Yep.
Realistically, and people always ask this, and
yeah.
so I always have to have an answer. Realistically, I would like to see this show delivered to the network no later than Thanksgiving, and that would mean it would get an air date sometime probably 2nd or 3rd week of December.
Okay.
I just put that on the podcast, so
yeah.
hopefully that holds up.
Yeah, we'll hold you to. I'll be checking back.
The best
I'll
way to find out is always shootingusa.com.
There
is a weekly update, and it lets you know what you're going to see Wednesday night at the range. And that's the best way to do it. Jim's got his email that goes out to some 60,000 people
Man.
Now to let them know every week what's on the show and what we're doing and everything else. Plus, we've got our Facebook pages, and I've
yep.
got an Instagram account and all of that. So it's great.
There you go.
You bet.
Well, a lot of people don't realize what goes in to sit and watch that hour segment.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much work. And, you know, I definitely appreciate what Shooting USA does for the shooting sports, being out here.
Stop it.
And I'm serious.
Knock it off.
I'm fluffing you up a little bit.
At some point, we're going to do a show about the show. If we did an episode
yeah.
of the show about doing an episode of the show,
I'll film you filming
I think
me
that could
filming
be,
for the show.
That could potentially be pretty interesting. We would get
yeah.
somebody to film us filming you.
Let's
and then
it.
Continue to film us as
Let's
we go through the process of making a show.
Can I
think,
be a part
I think
of
it's
it.
A concept. I think
Since
you should
I was
be.
Right here.
I think you should be a
in
part of it.
The brainstorming process, I need to be a part
Conceptually,
of it.
Conceptually, I think
yeah.
you did have some
I did.
Input into that,
I did.
So I'm going to need you to sign a couple of things before we end this interview.
I'm going to need you to sign a couple of things to cover me. How
you're,
about that?
You're the best, Jess.
I'm going to need a credit at the end of it, too.
You're the best. You will
right.
get a credit, no doubt. Awesome. Thank you for the
Thank
time.
You.
That was fun. We'll do it again.
So that was Jesse Duff, ladies champion, 2013 Open Division. And the final field recorded interview is going to be your men's champion, Max Michel. Here's Max.
Max Michel, the match is over. I've got Max Michel here. He is the men's Open Division national champion for 2013. Max, congratulations. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
I mean, this is something we've done before, talking about, you know, your training, your gun, and things like that. This is the first opportunity we've had to record one in person.
Yeah.
How did you find the match?
Very difficult. This match was probably one of the more difficult matches I've shot at a USPSA Nationals. Probably 90% of the targets were covered up with black or, you know, hard covers or no shoots, things like that. Very, very physically demanding match with this dust being out here for 3 or 4 days. It was tough. I found it very, very difficult.
There was an interesting thing for me, just kind of tracking scores and seeing how everything was laying out. There were a lot of high-value stages that took place in really, really fast times, like literally 10 and 11 hit factor type stages, and not just one or two, but a bunch of them.
Yeah, I think, you know, from the outside looking in, it looks like that, and there was some high hit factor stages, but it was a great balance,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they had those stages, and then we had those stages where, you know, we had long shots, downrange, partial targets, multiple positions, things like that. So it was very, very difficult, but yeah, so you had to be mindful of where those, you know, where those shots were going to be, where you needed to push, where you needed to make sure you hit the target. So it was difficult, and when you have those high hit factor stages, when you make a mistake, it adds up quickly.
You pretty well led this thing wire to wire, you know, with Shane and Casey kind of struggling from the beginning.
Yeah, you know, my plan in this match was just to survive day one. I know my strengths, I know my weaknesses, and day one really didn't play up to my strengths as much as I would have liked, but that's how it goes. I mean, I made that decision back home, just looking at the courses on the internet, realizing that they were very small stages that could really screw up your match and not do a whole lot for you, even if you shot well on them. So I just wanted to survive the first day. I fell back a little bit on the first day, but I shot pretty strong. And yeah, and then on day two, I had just a great day, and it allowed me to come back and start building that lead like I wanted to.
And put yourself in a good position to start out today. How is your mindset? I mean, do you get into a position where you're thinking, all right, I'm good now, I can cruise, I can run 85% of capacity? I mean, how's that work for you?
Yeah, I typically shoot 90 to 95% of my ability no matter what. But going into today, I had initially thought I was ahead by about 20 points, and then they threw out one of the stages, which really pissed me off because it's upsetting, not just for me. I mean, I gave back 20, 30 points to Shane and Chris on that stage, and KC, I gave him back 11 or 12 points. So, you know, here I am fighting as hard as I can, and I shot great on the stage and gets thrown out because somebody wasn't happy that they had a miss on it, you know, and it's unfortunate that some people didn't even get to shoot the stage. So yeah, going into today, you know, I'm always shooting 90 to 95% of my ability, but I was, you know, I wasn't comfortable with my lead today, this morning. So the first stage, I went out there and, you know, I did what I needed to do, and I picked up 10 more points on the first stage, and then I started feeling a little more comfortable once I got closer to that 20-point mark. I just started to just hit the targets. I think the next two or three stages, I was a little bit slower, but I was only dropping two or three points.
Right.
I was being very, very accurate, and but I tell you, it started to catch up to me. You know, Casey was gaining momentum. He was pushing. I was just cruising.
Mm-hmm.
And before I knew it, I was, you know, less than 10 points ahead until he had his disaster. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things that the stage that got thrown out, that stage six, was by far, for me, the best stage in terms of television coverage. It was all mesh. It was all mesh walls. And we were able to see all of the targets. And we had actually invested our entire morning on that stage, and so as opposed to just throwing out all of the video because the stage got removed from the match, mm-hmm. I have to qualify the fact that these guys worked hard on this stage and a lot of points were earned, but at the end of the day, here's why those points don't stack up. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's still in. It's unfortunate that it ended the way it did, but now interesting stuff, the way the whole place has kind of evolved with this new location. How'd you find St. George? I've never been here before. I've been running around this thing 20 years, and I've never seen this place.
Yeah, I came out last year. I didn't come up this year for the Area 1 Championship. This is where they hold the Area 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up last year just because the match director at the time gave me the heads up that, hey, there's a possibility we might have a Nationals out here someday. So, you know, me doing my homework, being the competitor that I am, I want to go and check it out and get out here. And it was beautiful. It was in, like, late April. It was gorgeous. I mean, just looking around right now, I mean, the mountains are absolutely gorgeous. Just walking out of the hotel, I went for a walk this morning.
Unreal.
It's just beautiful. So the location itself, you know, there's not a whole lot to do. There's not a whole lot to get in trouble, but there's plenty of restaurants. There's plenty of things,
yep.
You know, to do that's not going to get you into trouble. Where Vegas, you know, I basically lock myself in a room for a week because I don't want to get into do anything that I'm not supposed to be doing when I'm there for a job.
Right.
So to me, this location's great. I can do without the dust. I know that sounds like a crybaby, but it's just nasty, you know, trying to clean your mags every stage, clean your gun, take care of your equipment. it brings a whole other element to it. And you'll see the guys who put in the time and the guys who don't, because there's guys who have malfunctions and guys who don't, obviously.
Right, right. Well, we've watched that happen for the last 3 days. It's challenging across the board. I like the fact, and I want to expound on the fact, that you see this as a job. You're here to do a job. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these guys might think of this as you know, this is the sport that they work towards or whatever. Mm-hmm. You see it as a job, and I think that's interesting. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a job for me, and I'm fortunate that I can say it's a job. Not many people can say that, and, you know, I never take it for granted. I'm the dude who's working hard on the range. Every day I'm home, bring the kids to school, gym, range, pick the kids up. That's basically my schedule,
right.
And I treat it that way. And I treat it as a business as well, you know, sponsorships, television stuff. I'm always on the road doing something for sponsors if I'm not teaching my own courses. So I have a lot going on, but I do consider it a job. I still love it. I still have fun. I enjoy what I do, but it is very much a job. And because of that mindset, I think it helps me. You know, this being my 7th Open national title, my 8th USPSA national championship, I wouldn't have been able to win it if I didn't treat it as such.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the proof is in the results.
You got it. But, you know, the only unfortunate thing is, I'll bring this up, I know we're probably running out of time here, but I'll bring it up.
We got plenty of time, bro.
All right.
It's a podcast. We can talk as long as we want to.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to vent a little bit.
Please vent.
you know, I do treat it as a job. I consider myself a professional, and I carry myself in a way that I'm proud of, and that I hope my parents are proud of, my kids are proud of, my wife. You know, I try to do the right thing by sponsors. And I work hard at this. It is a job for me. And I just wish, I don't know how to say this, I wish there was an opportunity that we can, you know, make sure that things are done correctly on the range as well. You know, when you see guys getting doubles, or when you see guys getting reshoots that shouldn't get reshoots. And I get it. It's all volunteer, right? I mean, I'm a pro in a volunteer mm-hmm. sport, and mm-hmm. that's what makes it difficult. So I can sit here and vent right now. Nothing's going to change, you know, until we get, you know, 1 million viewers and guys are signing $10 million contracts a year, like, the, you know, Peyton Manning and Drew Brees getting $20 million a year. Until that stuff happens, we'll always be, you know, 5 or 10 pros in a volunteer sport. And it's very, very difficult to do that. But I'm making strides as best I can by being here with you today, doing television stuff, radio stuff, whatever I can do to get on TV and promote our sport. I'm all about it because, you know, I want to see this thing grow to much larger than what it can get to. And, you know, like I said, when you have 5 guys running around as a pro and everybody else is volunteers, we have some very, very good officials. Very, very good officials. But there's only so many that can go around. These guys get burnt out, man. So every location we go to, I've seen times where, you know, there's young children that are, you know, kids of some of the fathers and mothers that are range officers that are making some of the calls, you know, and it makes it difficult. You know, that's all I'm trying to say there. And I know Phil Strader and USPSA is doing the best they can, and the ROs are doing an excellent job. But that just makes it hard for me as a job standpoint, you know, to come out to the Super Bowl of shooting and be my job, but yet 99% of the people out here are just having fun on vacation, and that's fine. I just, you know, want to make sure it's a level, fair playing field all the way across, is mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say. And I'll leave that alone with saying this. Like I say, those guys work hard. I appreciate what they do. They've been here for 2 weeks in the dust. I've been here for 4 days, so I can't mm-hmm. complain. But, you know, I'll just say that my thinking behind that, because this isn't anything new. This is something that we've all dealt with for 20 years or longer. My thing is, you always are 5% better than the competition, and none of it matters. If you can treat, you know, yourself as a professional, train hard to be 5% better than any other pro or any other amateur out there, then the range official calls never matter.
Then you'll cover. Yeah.
You'll cover. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so, you know, I mean, I know they work hard, and I've over the long time established relationships with many of them because I need leeway from them so that I can do my job out here.
Yeah.
And initially, there were some rocky relationships, but by and large, I think it's gotten a lot better. And I think you hit it right on the head in that, number one, they're all human, and number two, they've all been exposed to these elements that we're only exposed to for a portion of the week. Mm-hmm. They've been here the entire time, and in many cases, much longer for setup and things like that. So, you know, like you said, the cushion is make sure you're 5% better than everybody else, and you'll cover
it. That's it. That's the mindset I have, you know, and I get it. You know, the guy's been on it for 2 weeks, you know, setting up or whatever, and they'll just call an Alpha Charlie because it looks close, but if you look closely, it might be an Alpha Delta. Or, you know, and that's only 2 points, but that could decide to match win, or they might say Alpha Delta when it's probably a miss, you know, it's not close enough to the line, just little things like that. But like you said, you cover 5% and you're good.
Awesome. You want to talk about the gun? Talk about the equipment that won the match for you?
Yeah, you know, I'm shooting the same equipment. It's a Sig Sauer Custom 38 Super built by Dan Bedell, and it's essentially a 2011 frame. You know, with a full size upper. I'm not a big believer in those short guns. I've tried them in the past, but all the matches I've won, all the big matches I've won, has been with the full 5-inch gun. You know, it's funny, guys shoot my gun sometimes and they say, man, that thing flips, you know, it flips quite a bit more than my gun. Well, by having my gun flip a little bit, I have, you know, a full-size gun, long compensator, two holes drilled in the barrel to kind of be that happy medium between that, you know, flat, crazy gun versus the flipping gun. But I'm able to call my shots better. You know, mm-hmm. I like to see my dot lift off of a target. That tells me if I hit it or I didn't. If the gun just kind of sits on the target and wiggles around, I'm not comfortable knowing where that bullet went. So, I'm running that with a Seymour optic sight. I found that to be the best over the years that I've been shooting. I've tried many, many scopes, and that's the best one for me, with a 6-minute dot for IPSC, and I'm using an 8-minute dot for steel. A lot of people ask that question as well. And I'm running an aluminum grip. Lots of guys are still using plastic, but I'm going to aluminum and probably steel next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just continuing to do whatever I can for Sig Sauer. You know, we have the 1911 Max. I use that a lot now in competition for single stack division.
Right.
It's literally my favorite gun. I love it. Shoot well with it, but it's a single stack. Mm-hmm. I can only shoot so much with it. So I'm hoping that the gun that I'm shooting over these last few years for Sig Sauer will be available to the public in a different format soon.
Mm-hmm.
I push for that every time I go.
No doubt.
I know a lot of people ask for it, but hopefully in time.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, that's actually, you mentioned an 8 MOA dot for steel.
That's
pretty coarse.
Yeah, I like a bigger dot in steel.
Is that for faster acquisitions? You can see it quicker?
Exactly. Yeah, it's bigger and it also is brighter. It's funny, you know, the smaller the dot, if you don't have a very good diode, it's not going to be very bright.
Right.
So that 8-minute just brightens up nicely on that white steel that we shoot 100% of the time in Steel Challenge. You need a very bright dot. You need to be able to see it quickly moving in and out of those targets.
Excellent. Well, that's everything I've got.
Cool.
Good job. Congratulations again, my man.
Thank you.
So that's it. The field interviews from the USPSA Open and Limited 10 Nationals in St. George. A couple of notes to myself, a couple of technical things that kind of electrical sound that we were hearing over a couple of the interviews. That was when I'd forgotten to turn the phone to airplane mode, and I think the phone was seeking data or re-upping, re-evaluating its position in the network. And so that was part of the notes with that new microphone, is make sure to set the phone to airplane mode when recording on it. So that and the air conditioner, you know, if you're going to do an interview in the car, turn the AC down. But it was hot, you know, so I think we kind of made the best of a otherwise pretty easy and pretty portable recording situation. So anyway, there's another edition in the can. Check us out, shootingusa.com, Wednesday night's outdoor channel. Can't miss that. Facebook pages, and go on over to John Scout and Shooting USA on Facebook. Give me a like, and you might win an iPhone cover. Until next time.